The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the first full day of our year in Sesshin. You know, I want to just thank the group, the team that put this together just so flawlessly. But I know there were many meetings and organizational issues to put together, but it's feeling like Sesshin. Well, Sesshin on Zoom. But it is auspicious that this group has come together to practice at this really difficult time in our lives. So I congratulate all of us who have managed to take time in our lives to do this, to stop the kind of routine of day-to-day pandemic and say, no, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to enter a contemplative retreat to restore ourselves in the subtle and quiet wisdom of meditation, ritual, and intimate reconnection in this virtual space. And for those of you who are not present here at this moment and who may watch this talk later, I offer you the reminder that what you need and seek is always right inside of you, is always available in this very moment of time to be intimate with yourself and the world around you. In this moment, whatever this moment may be in the vast landscape of time. And those of us here on Zoom Live right now who are participating in this annual year-end Sesshin, we can be grateful that somehow we were able to recognize that this time is right for us to stop and see, to stop and rest, to rest in insight and open our minds and hearts into a deeper wisdom. The wisdom, as we like to say, of the other shore. The wisdom that can be so easily clouded over in our ordinary life. So we stop, and we stop, and we see. We stop and recognize ourselves. We come back to our own primary wisdom. And we do this simply by following or agreeing to follow a ritual schedule for a few days. And this year, the ritual schedule follows the contours of a pandemic life in our own homes. We'll have more zazen to heal our nervous and perhaps angry parts. And Kinyin walking meditation in our often very narrow and small spaces. And still, Kinyin to activate meditation and action. And Samu, work practice, when we can prepare our own meals, clean our spaces, and attend to the bare necessities of our daily lives in this pandemic time. Then, a few hours later, we're able to resume zazen, followed by a chanting service that opens our throats and ears. I hope you're chanting along with Ryoshin And hopefully our hearts open so that we can take time for body practice, for rest, for walking or running or yoga, for paying attention to the relationship between the back of your head and your spine. All of these activities support us. And we must continue to recognize that we have set aside this time to steady ourselves, to deeply recognize ourselves, to come home. To come home to what? To come home to now. To what Zen Master Dogen in the 13th century called being time, Uji. What would it be like to actually inhabit time? This is what Zazen is, an opportunity to inhabit time. Not to look at time in some abstract, objective position, but to recognize and realize ourselves as being in time. Or, as he suggests at one point, as a time being. Wouldn't we then recognize our energies, our efforts, our actions as complete exertions in the moment, just as they are? Wouldn't we be able to appreciate our lives with a certain quality for the presence of wholeness that is there? It's a magnificent idea. And it comes with us with a lot of teachings for all of us. You know, at the onset of my Zen practice, when I was a single mom with a demanding academic teaching schedule and an experimental project, community project on the side, I always felt like I didn't have enough time for the things I wanted to do in my life. And that was a repeating thing. I don't have enough time. And it was just then that I encountered and fell in love with Dogen's majestic and perplexing study of time and being, Uji, which is the subject of our 90-day practice period. I'm hoping you will study the text and see how it can offer a creative and imaginative perspective for you in terms of how you're experiencing your time, your being time, in this period of your life. In an early section of the text, you know, Dogen reminds us that we're already endowed with what we need in our life to live a life of clarity and insight. And I would suppose that that is why we have gathered, each one of us, in the hopes that we can realize that. That we can recognize ourselves as the 16-foot golden body. It's a common trope in Buddhism, and particularly in Chinese Buddhism. 16-foot golden body is the Buddha inside of you. So we could say it in a more Western point of way of saying it was, this is the enlightening aspect of my being. This is the enlightening aspect of my being. This is the 16-foot golden body that emerges when I am true to myself. Dogen says, explaining what stops us from this, Although the views of an ordinary person and the causes and conditions of those views are what the ordinary person sees, they are not necessarily the ordinary person's truth. The truth merely manifests itself for the time being as an ordinary person. Because you think your time or your being is not truth, you believe that the 16-foot golden body is not you. I'm going to read it again. Although the views of an ordinary person and the causes and conditions of those views are what the ordinary person sees, they are not necessarily the ordinary person's truth. The truth merely manifests itself for the time being as an ordinary person. Because you think your time or your being is not truth, you believe that the 16-foot golden body is not you. The truth merely manifests itself for the time being as an ordinary person. We could just realize our life moment to moment. As we live is the truth of the moment. Then we can recognize our own enlightening nature, our Buddha nature. How can we say we don't have enough time when we are time? So what we do, or what we think, or how we respond in each next moment is really a result of accepting or denying our contact with Buddha nature. Recognizing and taking in what is real, what is true, and what is actually present in this moment. Not my idea about what's true, but what is actually true in this moment. Dogen says, the truth merely manifests itself for the time being as an ordinary person. So here we have this old lady blathering on about time as an ordinary person. But maybe the truth slips out a little bit here and there. How could it not? If I'm quoting Dogen, time is manifesting as you now. So Dogen continues in this vein. However, your attempts to escape from being the 16-foot golden body are nothing but bits and pieces of the time being. Those who have not yet confirmed this should look into it deeply. The hours of horse and sheep, which are arrayed in the world now, are actualized by ascendings and descendings of the time being at each moment. The rat is time. The tiger is time. Sentient beings are time. Buddhas are time. He catches us again. Your attempts to escape from being the 16-foot golden body are nothing but bits and pieces of the time being. Our very attempts to escape our Buddha nature can be seen as bits and pieces of our Buddha nature. This reminds me of when I attempt to escape the reality of my Buddha nature, which is all part of the time being, which is a bit of the 16-foot golden body. We all fail to see that. We think our time is constrained, that we're not there yet. And so we grasp at stories of our missed opportunities. If I only had time to pursue my dream. And yet we are already in this time, but we don't see it. that's what Dogen's pointing to. The hours of horse and sheep, which are arrayed in the world now, are actualized by ascendings and descendings of the time being at each moment. The hours move on. The hours of the horse and sheep are hours that we wake and hours that we sleep in the old Chinese zodiac. Images of the clock that exists in our lives. Oh, it's time to move. Oh, it's time to stop. It's time for Sashin. I'll sit and I'll walk and I'll be in this time now. You know, I can almost hear the more Western version in Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And I think this week is a time of peace for us, inside and outside of our hearts and minds. Studying Dogen's meditation on time, we can make peace with ourselves, a very important aspect of our understanding. Our own relationship to time, our own relationship to our ideas of who we are and how we live, of our ideals as parts of us that already are in existence. As Dogen says, the rat is time, the tiger is time, sentient beings are time, Buddhas are time. And I think that line can remind us that time is the glue that connects us to everything that is now, and also connects us to the past time and the future time. We are connected to the author of Ecclesiastes, to Dogen, and to the rat-like part of ourselves, and the tiger parts. But that's not all, of course. It's the same time glue that compels us to make room in our hearts and our actions for other beings and this planet itself. It is what can finally determine how we live in our time, in our experience of time, how we express our lives in this life as part of the whole of life. You know, for many of us, it's as simple as wearing a mask. Or as an example, because you might give it to someone. Or as an example to others. Or as solidarity. Or maybe it's as complex as donating your time for the well-being of others. Writing prison letters. Donating to clothing drives. Food pantries. Marching for the rights of others, writing letters or articles, organizing groups, organizing a session. Maybe it's offering a poem or a painting or a song or movement that will delight and surprise others. Over and over, it's about sharing and opening your arms, connecting, and recognizing your own 16-foot golden body. It's not separate from the homeless guy on the corner and her 16-foot golden body. It is precisely the relationship to time as universe, as time as universe, that commands us to care and to serve and to act in this world. If we are all connected in this kind of bizarre quality of moment to moment, century to century, how could we not be responsible for everything? When we realized our connection. So, in this difficult time, that's why I think Dogen's 700-year-old Uji time being is the perfect text for our Ankhō. For this 90-day period when we will practice, we will study with an open heart, with a mind that can take in the whole being of the 16-foot body, our own time being, and our interwoven connection with all of time and this moment, right now. So this may not be the session you'd hope for, but it is the session that is offered right now, in this moment of time. Don't regret. Don't waste it. Use this moment with joy and gratitude. Appreciate the work of the people that put this together, the Sangha members, and of our Shuso. Here's my gatha for today. Nothing's been left out. This moment has it all. Open your heart and recognize yourself everywhere, right now.